Hello, this is Blima Bershad, and you are listening to The Aparo Effect, where we talk about all things related to increasing the capacity of nonprofits so that they can do more to improve lives in their communities, as is the Aparo mission. And today I'm very excited to be joined by one special guest from the Aparo staff. And Todd, I'll ask you to introduce yourself, please.
Hi there. My name is Todd Revis. As Blima said, I'm happy to be here, and I am part of the Aparo staff. I'm the technical lead here at Aparo, which means that I take care of Aparo's internal IT needs, as well as work with the tech therapy team and try to offer whatever advice and expertise I can to nonprofits in the tech therapy sector. I've been in IT for a little over 20 years now, mostly as a systems administrator. So it's really exciting to try to pass along some of the things that I've learned over the years to help other people.
Thank you. And you dropped a phrase, tech therapy, which some people may not know what it is, but tech therapy is something that Aparo offers to nonprofits where, correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, there is no cost and they can get up to 8 hours of support. Tell
Yes,
me
that is
out.
correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And this is where we sometimes say, you may not know exactly what you don't know. And it's a great way to just come and get to talk through some of your problems, as you might in therapy, which is why we call it tech therapy. So thank you, Todd. So Todd is really an expert on many different topics. And we were chatting about what could we chat about today? And AI, artificial intelligence, is a very, very hot topic. So when Todd gave me a menu of choices to choose from, that was the one I chose because I don't even know what to say. There is so much news about AI. There are so many different ways that we can use it in our work as nonprofits, and really anyone listening, what even if you're not working for a nonprofit, there are many ways to use it. And Todd, sometimes I think in my role, in a marketing role, right, sometimes I'm faced with like a blank piece of paper and I'm looking at it and I have to start writing. And I think like, should I consider AI? Is it cheating? Is one thing that I think often. So I'd love to hear your opinion on that and kind of what kind of questions are nonprofits asking you?
Well, that's a very good question, or a very good point you make about you ask, is it cheating? Because a lot of people end up faced with that dilemma when they start using AI, because on the one hand, it starts with your idea, but you're actually not creating it. It's being created artificially. So on the one hand, you're kind of taking someone else's work and posting it as your own. On the other hand, it all comes from content and ideas that you present. So it's sort of a slippery slope, and that's a question that a lot of people find themselves asking. And I think the general consensus, well, first of all, there is no, and this really applies to pretty much everything with related to AI. It's in such a transitive state. It's constantly evolving, it's constantly changing. And so there are really no definitive answers to much of anything. I think the general consensus seems to be with regard to AI generated content is, as long as you acknowledge that this content was created with the aid of AI, you're generally going to put yourself in a pretty good position of not, I'm not sure what the right term is, but as long as you acknowledge it and don't try to just pass it off as your own creation, as a rule, I think most people agree that's going to put you on safe ground.
It's interesting that you're saying that because I don't see that very often, if ever, like some type of a footnote that says this was supported by AI or generated by AI. So is that becoming more of an expected practice?
Yeah, I think that's something you're going to start seeing more and more. Again, like I said, it's something that's constantly in a state of flux, and it's constantly evolving. And that's, what I'm reading and what I'm hearing from people, that's sort of where it's headed. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more footnotes, like you said, that are acknowledging that, hey, this was created with the aid of, ChatGPT or whatever, maybe just AI and not specifically which tool, but I think you're going to start seeing that, yes.
Interesting. Interesting. I personally, that would make me he probably hesitate to use it even more, just having to admit that I used it. But maybe it'll just become very, very accepted. I don't know. So, do you think it's becoming more and more accepted with nonprofits? How do you see them using it? And what kind of questions are they asking you about it?
Well, the questions are quite broad. I mean, there's obviously, and even for myself, it's still a lot of trying to figure out exactly how you can use it. There are some obvious things. Being a technical person, what I tend to use it for most often is, you can just simply ask a question, how do I do this? If you're working with some technology, if you're working with Microsoft 365, for example, or you're working with a any kind of application or web, web program, web application or program, you can ask the question, how do I do this? And it will generally give you an answer, at least point you in the right direction to finding the answer. That's the way I use it. So for most people and most nonprofits, it's just going to be a matter of figuring out how they can apply it to their day-to-day needs. It's very good for you can use it to summarize documents or web pages or presentations. It's very good for that. It's
So
very good.
in that case, if you okay, well, actually, let me go back to the first way you described, like how do I, because that's something that typically I would put into a search engine. So when do you, how are the results different, and why do you still use search engines, or you don't use them anymore? You
Well, there's some overlap there. The search engines, previously, they weren't that great at responding to specifically how do I do X. It would, if you asked it a question, it would just return all sorts of answers that were related to that particular topic. And you could wade through that and usually find how do I. But using AI tools tends to point you to that particular topic more quickly. It sort of, shaves off some of the excess to get you directly to the point. But the key with AI, just like in your traditional search engine, is how you ask the question. That's another part of the learning curve for people using AI is you need to learn how to craft your questions to get the desired responses. Generally, you're going to want to be very specific, very verbose in what you ask, and that's typically going to give you the best results.
interesting, and which may not work so well with the search engine. So when you're doing the how do I's, what tool do you like to use the most for your tech type how do I's?
I typically use the Microsoft tool, the Bing Chat, or actually Copilot is what they call it now.
So Copilot was formerly called Bing Chat.
Yes, they had it designated in basically three different levels. Microsoft did. They had your general Bing Chat, which was available to everyone. It's a free tool out there on the web. And then there was Bing Enterprise Chat, which was contained. It was something you enabled within your Microsoft 365 tenant, which provided a little bit of security for the information that you're putting in there. And then there was the Microsoft Copilot, which actually integrates with the Microsoft Office tools, and that is a paid subscription. So they still have those same three levels, but they just combine them all into, they just call them all Copilot now. There's not much distinction between the two, or between the three, I'm sorry.
Got it. Are a lot of nonprofits, have they rolled out Copilot? Are you hearing it in our community? Are we? We're not. We haven't. Like, you're secretly using it, but I'm not. Should I be?
Well, it's the thing is, it's fairly expensive. It's still, it's Microsoft currently has it. Now, they did make a concession for nonprofits and small businesses. At first, you could only purchase it. You had to have, I believe, like 300 users, 300 licenses. It was a large number. Now they have, they have said, okay, you can purchase it, ones and twos and threes, but it is still fairly expensive. It's about $30 per user per month.
Oh,
So
yeah. So,
unfortunately, I think that's going to put it out of the reach for some nonprofits, probably a lot of nonprofits. But the good thing is, you don't have to necessarily buy a license for everyone in your organization. You could buy one or two and still have it available as a tool in your organization.
for nonprofits who don't have it, do you have a different recommendation?
Like I said, you utilize the free tools. The free tools are out there. They don't integrate quite as well with with the Microsoft Office applications, but you can still use them, in a similar manner. There's of course ChatGPT, which was one of the first. Google has they it was called Bard, now it's called Gemini. And those both work pretty well. The main thing you want to remember is when you're using those public tools like that, be careful about the information that you put in there, because when you put that information in there, it's out there. It's out there on the web. It's, they're going to use it. And of course, all these things have privacy policies and disclaimers, and it'll outline very clearly what they will and will not use your information for, if you take the time to read it. But honestly, those privacy policies are about 6 miles long and kind of difficult to read, but they will outline specifically what they can or will and will not do with your information. But in a nutshell, for the most part, if you put the information in there in one of these public engines like Google Gemini or ChatGPT, then it's pretty much out there.
Right. And so you were saying maybe not so risky with the how do I, but if you're doing a summarize this, be careful what you're having it summarize. And you can do that with a Word document, a PowerPoint, a PDF, anything.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. So for, like I said, like you just said, for the how-to, it doesn't, it's not that big a deal. But if you want to summarize an internal document, for example, then you're going to want to be very careful.
Yeah. So we talked about the how do I's. We talked about summarizing. Is there a third way that you see using AI as helpful for nonprofits or humans in general?
Honestly, it seems like the sky's the limit. It's all a matter of, those are just some of the things that I can think of off the top of my head. And I'm sure that there are other people out there that are a lot smarter than me, can think of lots of other ways to do it and to use these tools.
Yeah, I mean, in marketing at Aparo, we've used it for just to generate ideas for like for event names. I definitely remember using it to generate ideas for event names. And then there are all sorts of graphic design AI tools, which I mean, blow my mind, where you just
Yes.
describe what you want to see and it magically appears. And wow,
Those are
does
pretty
that
amazing.
save so much time? Relative sort of searching through stock photos and graphics and things like that, or trying to create something from scratch.
Yeah, those image generators are pretty amazing. I've played around with those ones. Just it's fun to just see what you can imagine and put in there, and it'll just create an image, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So do you have any other caveats, warnings, things that you would tell a nonprofit, like, embark, tread carefully, embark, but
The main things, like I said, I touched on the security aspect of it. That's one of the main things. I touched on the, I'm not sure what the right term would be. I guess copyright might be the right term, as far as the generating the, using AI to generate things and then passing it off as your own. That's something to be aware of. I think another thing that you need to be aware of is the accuracy of the information. Because you have to keep in mind that these AIs, these large language models, which is what they call this generative AI, they can and will have bias put into because they are built, they are programmed by people. So they will inherently have some bias in them from time to time, and they will give you incorrect advice or incorrect information at times. So then, don't just because the AI tells you something, don't take it as gospel. Do your due diligence to make sure that what is being generated is accurate.
that word generative AI, is there a different, what's the difference between AI and when someone puts that word generative in front of it?
To be honest with you, I can't recall the exact definition, but basically, the generative AI just means that it is generating content based on what you put into it. So you put some information in there, and it generates a picture or an image or a document or whatever. It generates whatever you're asking for.
Got it. So all the tools that we've talked about today are really generative tools because they're interactive. I have a need, I sort of input it, and then it outputs something for me.
Yep, in a nutshell.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, we're getting toward the end of our time, so I'll just give you if there was anything else you wanted to share relative to AI and nonprofits or working with Aparo or anything else.
Not really. I mean, I could talk about how great working for Aparo is for quite a long time, but I won't get into to that. It is very satisfying, I have to say. Like I said, I've been in IT for 20 years or so. It is very nice to be able, obviously I have a passion for IT or I wouldn't have stayed in it for so long. So it's nice to be able to talk about something that I enjoy and at the same time help people with with their problems, or help them with come up with better solutions to their problems by using technology, without having to constantly be worried about someone's bottom line. Working in the nonprofit sector is really nice because the work you do matters. The work you do has an impact on people, as opposed to just, some company's bottom line. So that's very satisfying. And Aparo just is a great organization to be with.
That's very nice to hear. And I'll say similar to you, I always, when I talk about what I do at Aparo, because I came from a corporate background, a corporate marketing background also, I mean, like you came from a corporate, and it's nice to use our business powers for good, right?
Yep,
So
exactly.
that's what I'd like to say too. Well, thank you so much, Todd, for joining me today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of The Aparo Effect.
Thanks for having me.